Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about something we all are involved with, and that's food. And if you're like me, there's always this, oh my goodness, I can't eat that because my pants are getting too tight, or something to that effect. Yes, we are constantly, for those of us that have the tendency to have the ability to pack on pounds, you know, just by looking at a piece of chocolate cake. Yes, I can relate. Well, we're going to be talking with Kitty Gherkin Rosati about a healing 30-day program for lasting weight loss. Now, there's all kinds of diet books. You can go into any bookstore and you will find a gazillion plus. I mean, this is the hottest topic on just about every within every bookstore. The Rice Diet Renewal is the title of this book. And when we start chatting, I'm going to ask Kitty. Kitty, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you, Donna. It's nice to be with you.
You know, you are such an accomplished woman, but I have to ask you a question. And I know I asked you this before. Why in the world did they talk about this food program, first of all, being a diet, and secondly, calling it the rice diet? It's not a rice diet. We're not going to be eating rice 14 times a day here.
No. It was named that back in 1939 by Dr. Walter Kempner, who was recruited from Germany to come to the Duke University Medical Center to, he was one of the brightest brains at that time. His lab mate was Krebs, as in Krebs cycle. His parents were very accomplished, both very accomplished scientists and medical doctors, researchers. And he came and started using a no-salt diet, and the lowest sodium foods you can eat are grains and fruits with nothing added, not processed grains and fruit, just plain grain, plain fruit. So he put malignant hypertensives, or people with very high blood pressure, he put those people and people with kidney disease and discovered that no salt added, grains and fruit, would treat these diseases faster and more effectively than anything that had been invented. And back then, there were no such things as hypertensive meds or dialysis machines, so you either did what he said or you were dead by the age of 40. And since then, he documented and researched diabetics, people with high cholesterol, high triglycerides, and then in the 60s, it became very clear that it was the fastest, safest, most medically proven effective way to lose weight and keep it off. We have the best short-term weight loss. Within a month, the average woman loses 19 pounds and the average man loses 30. And then 6 years later, 43% of the people have report maintaining their weight or losing further. So it's the best short and long-term data I've ever read. And if anybody out there in the listening audience is aware of anything better, I'd like to know. You can write me at kitty@ricediet.com. I would really like to know, because that's the best data I've seen documented in the research. So it's amazing, and people get healed of a lot of other things. It's not just about treating obesity or every risk factor of heart disease. People come with psoriasis, with food allergies, people that can't sleep well, insomniacs, people with many, many different things, and find that even psoriatic arthritis, Dr. Kempner wrote an article on that, congestive heart failure, that's the most exciting patient I think I see that come in, because usually with congestive heart failure, they can barely get from the handicapped spot to the blood pressure taking nurse the first day, and then within a week, they can be walking miles. It's really a see the dead come alive experience. And that's getting people totally off salt. It's not low sodium, like a 2,000 to 4,000 milligram sodium diet. It's no salt added, which is under 500 milligrams of sodium. Actually, it's under 300. Going home, all my books, I've written four now, and they all outline a 500 milligram sodium going home plan, and that's grains, beans, fruits, vegetables, fish, dairy. You can eat anything, actually any meat. If you don't have heart disease, there's nothing wrong with organically grown cows and pigs that become beef and pork. What I love about the rice diet is that you look at people's risk factors and all the clues from your blood work and the scale and the blood pressure cuff and see what your body is telling you it needs. So everybody's diet is different. In fact, we call it a diet, because I'm sensitive, as you inferred, Donna, that you are, that diet sounds restrictive and negative, but a diet, the original word was Greek, and it meant a way of life. So it's the whole deal. It's not just what you're eating and how you're exercising, which is how you ingest and expend calories. It's also what you're doing with your mind. You know, if you're creating amazing radio shows like you and interviewing people and reading books as ambitiously as you do, then your brain is being filled with positive, exciting information versus somebody that's sitting around in a rocking chair going, my arthritis is really acting up.
then they feed
the arthritis, you know?
That's the truth. Now, I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You've worked in the field of weight-related disease prevention for years, well over 25 years, and you're the nutrition director of the Rice Diet Program. You've been a clinical instructor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and you've also been involved with drug and alcohol rehabilitation patients and worked with major companies. So you have been seeing things firsthand. But I found it so fascinating, your story relating to getting involved with this, because this is really something that for you was a very personal experience. And, you know, tell us your story.
Yeah, it really is a passion of mine. I believe that started when my father was 50 years old and died of a heart attack. And like many people who die that young of a heart attack, it was his first and last symptom. He never knew he had heart disease. He thought he had indigestion and would lay on his left side after dinner and talk about his indigestion. Well, he never would go to a doctor, although my mom was a registered nurse, and he ended up dying of his first and last heart attack in his sleep. Well, when I experienced that, I was 18 at the time, I just decided that year that I wouldn't be eating barbecue and cheese and french fries and, you know, the excesses of saturated fat and salt, which was typical for Eastern North Carolina, where I'm from. And so I just, you know, it wasn't like I swore off it or anything. I just said, I'm going to see how clean, how low in saturated fat and salt I can eat and pursue health rather than creating disease, which I, even in 1972, realized that was possible. But it wasn't until, I think you're referring also to my story where I tell in the Rice Diet Renewal how in my mid-30s I became crippled with this joint disorder and literally went from being a triathlete to awaken the next morning to find I was crippled from head to toe. And, I mean, literally every joint in my body from my big toe to the top of my vertebrae was an intense pain when I woke. And interestingly enough, this preventive patient that I had known a bit in the largest cardiac rehab program at Duke, it used to be, I don't know if it still is, but this man visited me. I hadn't seen him in years, and he ended up spending the night at my house because we were having a New Year's Eve party, so he just became part of the fun. And he awoke in the next room and walked out at the same time I walked out of my bedroom. He walked out of the living room into the kitchen, and he knew, people from the Christian faith would call it word of knowledge. Someone else might call it his sixth sense knew. He just had an inner knowing that I would be healed when I healed my resentment, which was, I believe, the emotional underpinning of the physical symptoms that most people would call arthritis. And this may sound far out to people, but, you know, anybody, I think, in America would agree that if they stressed out, they'd get a headache, or if they got really worked up about something, their blood pressure might rise. So those two things, maybe called psychosomatic illnesses, or illnesses or disease symptoms created by their thoughts. But arthritis is a harder leap for some people because we are attached to thinking we've inherited it. And my mother did have four kinds of arthritis, but she wasn't crippled at 35, you know.
Four kinds of arthritis?
Yeah.
Holy Moses.
Oh, she had a couple, and from psoriatic arthritis to rheumatoid to, she had quite a few different types. And, you know, she took mega doses of anti-inflammatory drugs, which led to esophageal varices, bleeds, and stomach ulcers. And she had all these gut disorders from these anti-inflammatory drugs, which, you know, can do that. And so I made my mind up at 35 that I was going to be healed by healing my resentment. And I chose to believe what he said. And for those of you who've never experienced this, I think most people have, when you hear truth, it hits you in a deep place, and you just know it's true. And I knew as soon as he said it that I was going to be healed because I would heal my resentment. I didn't know how. I didn't know where. I didn't know anything about the specifics, but I knew if I walked towards that truth and did, and then soon thereafter I went to a rheumatologist at Duke after the rheumatologist told me that I'd be in a wheelchair at the age of 40. And so when he said that, I realized, I don't want to go there, and you aren't going to be part of my healing because you don't even see it in your paradigm is not such that you even can acknowledge that someone with my rheumatoid factor and said right can be healed. He'd never had that experience. So I didn't think he would particularly help my be part of my healing team, be helpful in that. So I went to allergist because I had allergies at the same time for the first time in my life. And these are both autoimmune diseases, as you probably know, Donna. And they're your body turning against itself because you are unconsciously thinking and feeling things that are not health-promoting. They aren't life-giving. They're life-taking. And the more I understood this and the deeper I understood it, the more it went from a left brain to a right brain to a subconscious understanding to, I think, to the gut. It just, it's a hard thing to put words on, but when you open your heart and mind, as the Rice Diet Renewal book, I do my best at explaining and synthesizing my own healings and those of the last 20 years of heart patients and weight loss patients that I've worked with, where I lead them through journalizing classes and meditation and dream interpretation work and group abundance dyad work, where you share what you really most want, because most of us get so bulldozed with paying the rent and doing what somebody else wants us to do, we forget why we're here. Or never figure it out to begin with. And those kind of general life challenges, I think, are the root cause of many diseases. And when people come to the Rice Diet program, the average stays a month, and you slow down and you really have time to every day do yoga or Tai Chi, meditation or Pilates, go to a group with a group therapist and get honest with yourself and others, and you hear other people's story, and they hear yours, and you see them hearing yours, and there's a whole healing that happens in community. It happens in anonymous groups. There are many other places besides the Rice Diet that could offer you honest community where you could get honest with yourself. And that's part of what the book describes and what the Rice Diet program offers is the hope, you know, with each of these books was that I could reach a greater audience, because not everybody can afford today to take off a month to come to our program for a full immersion.
I wish
I could give it away. But these books, I've had dozens of people email me with over 100-pound weight losses from reading a $20 book. And they get on our free forum, our www.ricediet.com website. It's a free forum up there. They're free webinars. We just booked a patient today from a free webinar on the spiritual chapter, which I did last week. And these are, we now figured out how to tape them. So you can go to the website and hear this free tape, an hour talk on the spiritual chapter. And next Wednesday night, I'm doing a webinar on conscious consumption. So it's going to talk about not only eating organic, natural food, hopefully organic and local, and as nutrient dense and as clean as possible. But also being aware of what you do with your mind, you know, how many hours you think negatively in a day, how much time you mindlessly plug into computers or TVs or things that are showing you violence instead of loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
How often you walk instead of, you know, jumping in the car and wasting more petroleum. There are all these invitations to look a little deeper at what we're really consuming on a broad, deep level, and realize we have a choice. We have millions or billions of choices in a day to wake up to what we're eating and how we consume in a deep way. So it's all very important. And having healed of that crippling joint disorder, as well as I had two different times, I had a viral encephalitis-like condition where my brain went for 3 weeks. I'm not sure where it went. The doctors here at Duke don't know where it went. But I didn't know anybody, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything for myself. And the last time had major seizures. And my I found this so interesting. My neurologist at Duke just happened to be the same guy, 5 years apart. And he, for the first one versus the second one, 5 years apart, and he told me, he said, Kitty, I've never seen anybody as far out, meaning from the real world, as you were, that I could go home and sleep a full 8 hour sleep and have a weekend off. He said, but I knew you knew how to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was not spiritual, but he thought in terms of neurons firing. He knew I had come back before, A,
mm-hmm.
But also that I had a 2 and then a 7-year-old son. So I had a lot of will to live. I have a lot of life in me and a lot of passion to help other people. And so he knew a little bit about my character and what I do. And he said, I knew you knew how to come back. And I just was so amazed that he put it in those words, because if I would try to speak to him about spiritual descriptions of what had happened to me, he couldn't go there. But as far as neurology, neurologists know how to, they know how neurons fire, and they
mm-hmm.
and he could see it from that perspective. And that's why I've chosen to write The Right Start Renewal in the way I did, because I tell the positivity research that's being done by Fredrickson in Chapel Hill, Dr. Barbara Fredrickson. I tell about heart math, some of the best research showing that how much more powerful the heart is than the brain, and it just undergirds and clarifies for people who do have active left critical brains going, saying, well, this all sounds a little woo-woo, but, you know, they've proven how much more powerful the heart is than the brain. And when you understand that, you go, wow, maybe I will slow down and practice a little loving kindness meditation, or
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's something to that, that it's not just for, you know, 60s kids that forgot that we're in 2011.
It's very tough, I think, in our world today, because of the perceived speed of everything. We have the texting, we have the cell phones,
mm-hmm.
we have television, and to deal with the aspect of patience, we have a mentality where it's like, if it can't be done in 30 seconds, 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, within a short period of time, gee, it's not going to work, and that's the way it goes. There's a real frustration, I think, to be able to focus. And anyone that I've ever met that has really been successful in whatever that capacity might be, when they've been successful, it's because they've had focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It
mm-hmm.
can be something so simple as someone going out and weeding a garden. I know of a woman that had this massive array of garden that just had to be cleaned up. And she said, all I did was say, I'll do 1 inch at a time, that's all. And she
mm-hmm.
started, and she didn't worry about how much she had to go or how much she had done. She just said, I'll do what I can. And before she knew it, she said 4 hours later, she had the whole area cleared because she didn't get stressed out over it. She just said, well, the worst case scenario is I don't finish it. But she ended up clearing the entire area that needed to be cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had learned it a long time before, that you just do it one little bit at a time, inch by inch, and life's a cinch. That's what people say. And I think when it comes to food patterning, I know all of us have our own metabolic processes, and we react to things differently. I know people that can eat chocolate-covered maraschino cherries and never gain a pound. Their metabolism does different things with their body, but that's not the case that it is with me. I have to be consciously attentive to certain types of food, otherwise I end up just packing it on. And I'm sure a number of my listeners can relate to this, but so often we're not mindful about what we eat. We're not really paying attention. We're in a hurry, and we've got so many foods around that are real fast eating. And you put it in, and all of a sudden you go, gee whiz, I don't understand why I put on pounds. I didn't have very much food. And that is true. They haven't eaten in volume that much food, but what they've had maybe is packed with those calories. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, holy Joseph, you know, you're a size 45, and you go, I don't understand this. I wasn't eating very much. And that's one of the things that your book brings out, is the mindfulness. And the first approach that you had in the book was, check it out. Just, and this isn't a rice diet, folks. You're not going to be having rice, like I said, 16 times a day. That's not it. It is about food and the mentality towards food, and the mentality, like you've mentioned, about journaling and being aware of yourself. You give a food program in here that if someone wanted to try it for a month, you go into emotional eating, which, heavens, that has happened with me. I mean, why would I be a hypocrite about something like that? There are times that stress has been so intense, and all of a sudden, and I've caught myself doing it, I'll be going in and looking for something. Just, what can I have? What can I have? What can I have? And something I have learned is not to have certain foods around or certain goodies around, because common sense goes right out the window. All of a sudden, it's just this craving that will come in, and it is directly related to stress.
Yeah. And our lack of mindfulness, like you said.
And
when your day doesn't habitually contain an act of mindfulness, a practice where you are brought back to center and realize, oh no, I don't want to, you know, eat a 600 calorie honey bun or whatever, cinnamon roll. I really am upset about what my boss just said or whatever. And keeping a food record, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Donna, because the journalizing piece is throughout the book. It takes you from writing your food and exercise down, which always helps people lose weight. It's one of the stronger predictors of who loses weight and keeps it off. For those of you who've ever heard of that National Weight Loss Registry, if you've lost 50 pounds and kept it off 2 years, you can join their club, and it's an internet-tracked thing. It's fascinating. But so they've got huge amounts of data from quote-unquote successful dieters, people who've lost significant weight and maintained it for a significant time. And those people, some of the most common success factors are they keep a journal, they eat a high carbohydrate, whole food carbohydrate. We're talking about oatmeal, grains and beans, not ho-hos, not, you know, white flour bagels, but a high complex carbohydrate, low animal fat. They exercise an hour a day, and they journalize. And that combination, you know, it's hard to gain weight on that. The other piece, like you're saying, is the journalizing about more than food and exercise, and that's looking deeper at really what's coming up for you. So we have this journal for health that we sell in our Rice.store store that's off our website, and you just basically it has three-fourths of the two pages that open up are for your exercise and food, but then there's a half a page that states, you know, encourages you to write a little bit about your feelings that day. And I have all these different research efforts described in the book that are synthesized there saying if you write about facts and feelings, James Pennebaker, Dr. James Pennebaker, was the first to research this, and now it's been researched for 30 years. And there's zillions of diseases that people have proven you will have less problem with, less hospital visits, shorter hospital stays, less arthritis, reduction in HIV infections, pulmonary patients have less problems. I mean, it goes on and on and on if you journalize facts and feelings. And it's called expressive writing. And it doesn't take but, you know, 15 minutes a day, but it's like brushing your teeth or, you know, feeding yourself. If it becomes a habit, it's a way for you to process your stress or your pain, your emotional pain, and get in touch with, oh, that's why I'm so hungry. So-and-so just hurt my feelings, and I can choose to, even at work, ask if you can take a 5 or 10 minute break and go take a walk instead of having a cigarette break or go eating some, you know, ho-hos or whatever. You know, it's a matter of realizing you have a choice. Every bite that you ingest is a choice for your health and for your improvement of your physical health and that of the planet, or it's a choice to give yourself disease and to numb out emotionally and stay unconscious, remain unconscious about the fact that you're using that as a pacifier, like people mm-hmm. use a cigarette. It's the same thing. In fact, we've had a patient that I wrote about in Heal Your Heart. He had lost weight like crazy the first 3 months he was on the Rise Diet program. He had a couple hundred pounds to lose. The third month, he got to rent a car, and he started, his weight loss just stopped. In fact, he started gaining. And he told me he was finding fast food wrappers scrunched up and thrown in the passenger seat floor. And he thought somebody was trying to play a trick on him. And then one day he was driving through the fast food thing, and he whooped down the double cheeseburger or whatever it was and scrunched the wrapper. And only after he tossed it into midair did he realize, this is me. Mm-hmm. And it was me that did this for the last 2 weeks. He did not know. His left brain was unconscious of the fact that he had gone through fast food places to supplement his rice diet plan. Well, I mean, that's when I realized this is very deep. I mean, people sleepwalk, actually, and eat in the middle of the night and don't even know it. That's rare, mm-hmm. but there's so many levels to this unconsciousness. It can be extreme like that, or it could be like this morning. I wanted to go get chocolate, you know, before 9 o'clock. And I took a walk and did some yoga at the club and then went to work an hour late and realized, okay, I've released the upset that I had, and I feel a lot better doing what I did instead of eating 500 calories of, you know, these chocolate huge cookies that I love at this bakery.
We all have our vulnerabilities. And I know we're just about out of time, Kitty, uh-huh. and there's so much good information in your book. You talk about the touch healing. You go mm-hmm. in, again, to the journaling, which you've just been discussing. There are so many aspects to this book that I think make it a very, very good read. Whether someone said, well, I just don't want to do this kind of food program, that's not the issue. I think you bring so much more to the table in this book, and just the story you've shared with us is awesome. Now, people can go to ricediet.com, mm-hmm. ricediet.com, and, of course, this is the book, The Rice Diet Renewal. And what I would say to those of you listening is that the information in the book, again, this isn't a rice diet. I think that those terms are misleading because it puts a different image in your head. That's my bias. Mm-hmm. But what it does, it brings you to the present with where you are and brings, I think, up to the front many issues that all of us that have had weight challenges deal with, and that we don't need to beat ourselves up over this, but realize that maybe we can make shifts in certain ways with our thinking, with our habits, that enables us to be more comfortable within this marvelous body that we've been blessed with so that it can operate at premium efficiency. So go to thericediet.com. Kitty Rosati, thank you for being my guest. It's been just a delight having you with me. And the recipes in this book are absolutely wonderful, too. So there's a lot of good stuff in here, and it really is a good read. It's the type of book you want to sit down, you want to read, and have a highlighter in your hand. Have a highlighter. I love those yellow highlighters. Anyway, Kitty, thanks ever so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you, Donna. And if you can ever come to Durham, I would love to have you as my guest. I think you would get the whole program. You would you'd love the full immersion.
I would just love it. All right. We'll see if we can do that. This is Donna Siebel. Kitty, again, thank you. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Now, for those of you listening in the Pacific Northwest, I want to let you know I've got two fabulous events coming up in March. The first one is going to be March 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Oh, this is such a dynamic event. We've got 350 to 400 vendors, and I'm going to be hosting a women's forum, 6 spectacular speakers on Friday, and then I'm going to also be speaking on Saturday and Sunday, and it's just a dynamic, dynamic event. This is something, gals, if you are in the Pacific Northwest, I want you to put it on your calendar. If you can only just make one day, terrific, but the whole weekend we're going to be rocking and rolling at the Northwest Women's Show, and there's so much going on. So go to their website, which is nwwomensshow.com, northwestwomensshow.com, and you'll be able to pull up all the information about the hours, where to get the tickets. All kinds of details are there, plus the schedule of speakers that I will have. And I want to let you know I'm going to be in booth 407. I'll also be doing mini consultations. Then on the 26th of March, I'm going to be at the Emerald Spiral Expo. And there's information on both of these events. Now, the Emerald Spiral is in Kent, Washington, at Kent Commons. So if you want more information, go into my newsletter, which is up on my website, DelphiInternational.com. Or if you wanted to, you could always give me a buzz at 800-872-8852. But two great events, and then I'm going to be going to New York in April. So for those of you listening in New York City, I'm going to be there live and in person, and then also I'll be on my way to Alaska in May. So there's a lot going on, and this is going to be one traveling lady, and the East Coast in June. Lots of things going on. Okay, telephone number here if you want to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Okay, what have we got tomorrow? One of my favorite topics, the paranormal. Oh, yes. Now, this is the Wiser Guide to the Paranormal. Judith Joyce is a repeat guest on my show. We're going to be talking about all kinds of interesting people, unique circumstances. Don't you just love it when science can't explain everything? That's what makes life so interesting, our spontaneous happenings. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. It's really going to be a lot of fun. Okay, I need to finish the Chinese horoscope for the new year. Yes, we've already talked about those of you that are rabbits, dragons, snakes, horses, sheepies, monkeys, roosters, and dogs. So, oh, and tigers. Always got to the tigers. So I got three signs of the Chinese zodiac, the pig, the rat, and the ox. So let's start with the pig. If you were born in 1923, 1935, 47, 59, 71, 83, 95, or 2007, you were born under the sign of the pig. Now, pigs are a real smart animal. They're very, very intelligent. But they also have personality. Well, you may not think so, but believe me, they do. And under the sign of the pig, that's one of the qualities that you have. You are charming. You're absolutely bubbly. You've got a lot of good stuff in you. And you're a hard worker. You believe you create your own luck, but you also have what I think is a fabulous side of your personality. You look at life as something that's full of opportunity. You don't get down in the mouth very much. Now, what's going to happen to you this year? Well, apparently, you are going to step outside your comfort zone, and you're going to try things that you've never done before. It doesn't mean it's food. That may mean doing some traveling to new places, doing different things. Maybe you're going to go back to school, but you're going to follow this desire to expand your paradigms, and this is a great year to do it. Now, the next sign is the sign of the rat. You were born in 1924, 36, 48, 60, 72, 84, 96, or 2008. You were born under the sign of the rat. Now, under this sign, you're deeply insightful, and you also have an open mind. You will work with just about anyone, and you like solving mysteries and puzzles. What's going to be happening to you this year in 2011? Well, you're going to be working. That's right. You really have some big desires, big goals, and you have the chance to reach for some entirely new positions in the working environment. You don't mind being held accountable, and you really want to increase your stride of personal accomplishment, and that can happen on multiple levels. So you've got a lot going for you. Reach for more than you expect. That you possibly can accomplish. Don't be afraid to aim high because you're quite capable of reaching far beyond what you expect of yourself. And the last sign is the sign of the ox, 1925, 37, 49, 61, 73, 85, 97, or 2009. You've got good taste. You like luxury. You like beautiful things. Now, the key is sometimes you may have a microscopic budget. Well, you can work with that. You want to be able to know that you can achieve what you want for the finer things in life, and you can do it if you're wanting to be mindful and meaning to be mindful about it. You have a tendency to be a perfectionist, but I'll tell you what, you are bullheaded. That's, you know, oxes. They are slow but sure, but they get to their positioning, and they're dependable. You can depend on them. That's why oxes have been used as, if you would, beasts of burden and for agriculture, and still are in many cultures around the world. You are really going to be interested in moving forward into new directions, new friends, new hobbies. You're going to want to change your environment in some way. And your optimism is going to be pretty high because of that. So don't ever feel that because life gets rather routine and mundane, that you cannot have an interesting life. Those of you born under the sign of the ox, realize practicality and steadfastness are two very good traits that can serve you well. Well, I know that Valentine's is coming up, and I've had somebody ask me, doing anything special on Valentine's? I said, no, not really. It's coming on a Monday, for heaven's sakes. That's a working day. Anyway, There's all kinds of things that are out there. And have you noticed how much candy there is out there? And of course, this is a time for chocolate. Well, I came across some real neat recipes for chocolate, and I think chocolate is absolutely wonderful, but sometimes you just don't have the time to get things done. Well, after the break, I think I will share with you a couple or maybe a recipe for chocolate that you might enjoy. Making truffles. I had someone. I love to watch your cooking channels. Do you? I just really enjoy them. My husband thinks I'm nuts. He said, you're already a good cook. Why do you want to watch these things? I'm fascinated with all the different ways people manage to fix food and the different recipes. I just absolutely love it. So anyway, I was watching this one gal making truffles, and I thought, you know what? I need to share that with my audience, because sometimes it's just nice to fix something at home. One of the greatest gifts I was ever given was a box of truffles by a lady who, it was totally unexpected. She had made them, and they were out of this world. They just melted in your mouth. So anyway, I thought that I would share one with you today. So I'll be sure and get that recipe ready so that I'll be able to share it with you after the break. Now, if you want to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. Is the telephone number to call in. All I need from you is your first name or initial. And then after that, well, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. 888-815-9756. Okay, there is some research that's come out, and they have done this on animals. You know, they found that animals are getting fatter, just like people. And I've noticed that around certain individuals. If there's someone that has a tendency to overfeed themselves, they probably are going to be doing the same thing with the animals that are around them. And it's a very easy thing to do. But it's very easy to be able to say, well, they've got to have so much of a portion. And, you know, they've found with animals, just often like with people, that when you are not obese, you're going to live longer. If you are obese, you've got some real challenges because, one, you're not going to feel like moving, and, two, it puts a lot of burden on the heart and on the internal organs in the body. So they're finding the same challenge with animals as they have with people. So this is something we're going to really have to, you know, pay attention to, I think. And it's being mindfully present, really is being mindfully present about what we do. Well, there is a wonderful, wonderful story that I have here about a family. And it was about a young girl who was very challenged on a September morning in 1999. And this is something that, again, we're going to be going on break in just a minute, that I think I'll share with you because it shows how people, through the way that they feel, the way that they think, can take something that can be rather ugly and unpleasant and make it into something that is productive and valuable. Take what is not good and transform it into something that is good. So I'm going to be sharing that story with you as well. So we're going to be taking a break. And going to just be ready for you when we come back. And if you decide you'd like to call in, the number to call in to 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
I told you I'd have a chocolate recipe for you, and I've got one today. And this is really easy. You could do it up this weekend if you wanted to, but this is so simple. You can fix up a batch for that special someone in your life, and you're not making a whole bunch. I don't know about you, but I love chocolate so much, especially with nuts, and that's what this recipe is. They're called nutty chocolate clusters. I love crunch nuts, dark chocolate. That is my absolute favorite. Now, this recipe calls for white chocolate as well as dark chocolate. There's not a lot of ingredients in it, and it has a texture and a crunch to it that really is very satisfying. So for that Mr. or Mrs. Special or Ms. or Mr. Special, whatever you want to do, if you're just wanting to do it for yourself, you're not going to have so much that it's overkill. So let me show it to you what it is. It's 6 ounces of white chocolate, 6 ounces of white chocolate. You're going to need 3.5 ounces of graham crackers. And if it makes you feel bitter, you could use the low-fat ones. I know, it's ridiculous if you're going to have it. But hey, you know, sometimes people like to do that. One cup of chopped macadamia nuts or Brazil nuts. Now, if you don't like either one of those, use walnuts. Use almonds. Use whatever you want. But you're going to need a cup, so a full cup. And you need 1 ounce of preserved ginger chopped. Now, if you don't like ginger, leave it out. But the candied ginger, I think, is magical. I just love it. And then 6 ounces of dark chocolate. Now, you're going to need a cookie sheet, and you need to put a piece of parchment, baking parchment, on that cookie sheet. Now, you have that all set up. Now, you want to take your white chocolate, and you want to break it into small pieces and melt it in a double boiler. If you don't have a double boiler, then take like a Pyrex or a glass dish, put your chocolate pieces in the glass dish over a pot of water. You don't want the water boiling. You want it simmering, and it'll just melt right in the glass dish. You just stir it with a spatula until it gets really nice and smooth. Or if you wanted to, you don't want to whip it with a whisk, but you just want to stir it until it melts. Now, what you want to do is put the graham crackers, which you want to break into small pieces. You want to stir the graham crackers into the melted chocolate together with the chopped nuts and the preserved ginger, the candied ginger if you're going to use it. And then you place heaping teaspoons of the mixture onto your prepared cooking sheet. You chill the mixture in the refrigerator until it's set. So it depends on, you know, how cold your refrigerator is. It might take half hour. Could take an hour. It's up to you. You could be about doing something else while it's firming up there. And then you want to very carefully remove the clusters of the white chocolate and the nuts and the graham crackers from the baking parchment. Now, your dark chocolate, you're going to want to melt. And again, you can do this with a double boiler, or you might even want to do it just in the microwave. You let it cool, though. It's going to get, you want it warm so it's liquidy. And then you let it cool slightly, and then you dip the clusters into the melted chocolate, and you allow the excess to drip back into the bowl. So you can return the clusters to the cookie sheet and chill in the refrigerator until set. That's how easy it is. Yum. Good stuff. Just really fake. Now, if you don't like candied ginger, you could substitute another candied fruit, like mango, or what, apricots, or even if you had any candied cherries. Remember, your imagination, you can open that up and use it, and it can be just absolutely fabulous. You can have a great time with this recipe. Simple, easy, and these clusters can be stored up for up to a week if you want to make it in advance. Well, it's not that far till Valentine's Day, so these, you know, if you can resist, maybe make a double batch, one for you and one for the person you want to give it to. Okay, I know, I'm being naughty. Well, I told you that I was going to share a story with you about a family and how they took an ugly situation and made it into something positive. Now, Stacy Brancini, she picked up the phone on September morning in 1999, and was told that her young daughter, Alexa, had been raped inside her dormitory. Alexa was only 18 at the time, on the campus of Boston University. Now, she had just started school. She was a freshman. Her attacker was arrested later that night, but it was a year and a half before he was brought to trial. Now, there was a lot going on because the legal process, it's very traumatic. You've got all this testimony. It was just absolutely unbelievable. The family, the entire family, flew to Boston for each part of the trial that went on. And every time they'd come into Boston, their daughter would just fall apart. She'd just cry because she was in the place where this horrible trauma had happened. And the parents said that they were appalled by the way the system treated their daughter. And the daughter testified at the trial, which went on for a month. And she said, if my family hadn't been with me, I don't know I would have even testified. So it was very costly to the family. They lost income because the parents always went with her. They had huge expenses, both legal as well as personal expenses they had to meet. And the husband would say to his wife, how can people even afford to do this? He said, we've managed it, but people go through these kinds of trials and all of this legalese and the cost. He said, this is appalling. We were able to do it, but others couldn't. Well, this is what the family did. 2 years after this horrific event, they started It Happened to Alexa Foundation. It Happened to Alexa Foundation. They started it because they wanted to help other families that were going through the same thing that they and their daughter had gone through. It's the only organization of its kind, and what this foundation does, it provides funding for victims' families so they can be with their loved ones in court. Now, the first year they started this, it disbursed only $7,400. In 2009, more than $100,000 was raised to help 174 victims and their family members and friends. Alexa, the young woman who was raped, is now pursuing her PhD in criminal justice and is dedicated to assuring that rape survivors, despite whatever they've gone through, they need to know they are not alone. Amazing people, and I think it is a phenomenal story, so I wanted to share that with you. My goodness, we're out of time already. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the paranormal. Whoa, are we going to have some good stories for you. So I hope that you'll join us. I look forward to having you with me again tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent life. You deserve the best. You're working hard for it. Keep up the good work. Life's filled with so many blessings, and a lot of them will come costumed in ways you could never imagine. Enjoy them and accept them when they come your way. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.